Welcome. I want to welcome everyone to the Deeper Conversations coaching class that I completed 10 years ago. I just realized that, 2012. I took this class for the first time 10 years ago. I'm still in the class. Today is Wednesday, October 12, 2020. My name's Ann Kelly. Very happy to have you here. We have Jean, Lisa, Laura, and Dania. And Dania will be with us in about 15, 20 minutes. Do we have a volunteer who would please read LS agreements for us?
I can do that.
Thank you, Lisa.
You're welcome. I just have to find it here. Yes, okay. Okay, one, confidentiality. We agree to keep all information we hear within the classes or from our classmates confidential. This includes our live classes and listening to the audios of the classes. Two, positive focus. We agree to give positive feedback, to acknowledge versus criticize, to be accepting. Three, hold the space. We agree to listen without interruption. Four, presence. We agree to be fully present to the class without distraction or multitasking. Five, beginner's mind. We agree to be curious and open, letting it all unfold. Six, self-responsibility. We agree to practice excellent self-care. Seven, coaching feedback. We agree that only positive acknowledgments are offered by the class participants after the coaching, focusing on the competencies observed and the strengths of the coach. The class facilitators may offer some mentoring feedback designed to further the learning of the coach and the class participants. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Lisa. That is my intention for the time we're together today. Will you add that intention to mine, to be mindful of our agreements? Thank you. I was just thinking I'd like to bring them into some of my coaching sessions. No multitasking. Very good. Thank you. We haven't, at least with me, because there's been so much content, haven't usually done a connection or a little clearing exercise, but that is one of my favorite things to do today. And I love to learn from you and learn from each other. Who would like to share a process you use to connect, do a little clearing for your clients when they indicate they would like that? At any point in a session, sometimes at the beginning, middle, wherever they would like that. And what I'll ask is that I retired from the National Park Service, and I was not an interpreter or the rangers that you think of. I was not a ranger, but what they do is put you in the moment. A good interpreter, a good ranger puts you there in the moment. So I would ask you to do that with us. Put us in your clearing and lead us through that. Can be something as simple as 30 to 60 minutes. That would be a lot. Seconds, 30 to 60 seconds. Just to do a little grounding before we start. Who'd like to put us in that process so we can learn from you?
I'm happy to give it a go.
Excellent. Thank you. Let us know.
Sure.
Guidance, eyes open, close, whatever you'd like us to do. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, I'd like us to tune in and leverage the power of our senses. So I invite you to just get your feet uncrossed and put them flat on the ground and get ourselves supported. Do that. And then just realize that the chair that you're sitting in has completely got you covered. Gravity takes over and there's nothing for you to do. I encourage you to close your eyes, or you can look down, whatever's comfortable to you. And let's just first take a couple cleansing breaths, just deep breaths, breathing in and out at your own pace. And then another breath in and out. And as you breathe, if you can just naturally let your breath come from lower in your body versus up high in your chest. I notice at times I can be chest breathing. So just naturally breathe on your own. And as we're just here together and you hear my voice, let's just tune into our senses. Let's tune into our senses. And for a moment, as you're breathing in and out, I just want you to tune into this, your capacity to smell. And notice if there are any smelling senses that you experience around you right now. Just tune into that power that happens without us realizing it. Of smell. And now, recognizing the power of smell, let's change our focus over to our sense of taste. Sense of taste. What do you taste in your mouth? Just focus there. Are there any tastes that you have, or maybe even memories of taste, longings of taste? Tune into the power of taste. Let's move our focus now from taste to touch. Just notice what your hands, your feet, your body are just naturally touching right now. Do your part to tune in and experience the power of touch. What we're touching. You may want to move your hands up and down on your legs or arms. Don't have to, but to reinforce that power of touch. And now let's move to the sense of sound, what we can hear. And so turn up the volume in your ears and just notice the sounds around you. What do you hear? And last but not least is the power of sight. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to open your eyes and just notice what you see. One, two, three. When you're ready, you can open your eyes to see what's in front of you, what's around you. Fresh and new. Thank you for sharing time with your five senses.
Thank you so much, Jean. Lovely, 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 lovely.
Yeah, well, that was really that was very cool, Jean. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Yeah. I give credit to my colleagues and dear friends, the Henley Leadership Group, for sharing that with me. So I'm glad you enjoyed it. Usually it's spread out a little bit longer, but I feel it did our job well.
So, well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Nice. Your topic this week was establish and maintain agreements on Monday. Yes, who was in the Monday class? Who attended Monday? Okay. What would you like to bring forward from that class to today to reflect on further, learning something that got clearer, something that got fuzzier, something you tried in a coaching session? Maybe you adjusted your coaching agreement, either the written one or the coaching agreement that happens in every coaching session. Let's bring some of that learning forward, or questions.
I'll start. I haven't really had time or space to implement any of this, but as I'm looking at my notes from Monday, the things that are sticking out are just digging into the session level agreement further to really uncover what's important about the topic for our clients. You know, restating to make sure we understand from the client's perspective. So what I hear you say. And then also the other thing that really landed with me is the self-coaching exercise that we did at the end. And while these individuals are going through coaching, what a great tool for them to be able to utilize on their own as they're working through situations in real time. So they're not always going to have access to a coach. So how do we provide tools for them to coach themselves and build those muscles individually? Because ultimately, isn't the goal that they move on from coaching and have a different level of awareness and independence and reflection and all of that? So those are the things that landed for me, I would say, the hardest from Monday.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you. Other thoughts, anything related to establish and maintains agreements?
I'm not sure that my answer is going to answer the question you just asked, Anne, but perhaps it will. I'm looking down at the TOMS, which is phenomenal. Phenomenal framework, and I used it. I have a client, how could I say this in the least judgmental way, but there's a victimhood to her. And I don't teach a lot of, I don't coach a lot of victim as a persona. It doesn't come a lot because it's usually these go-getting executives. So that's a personal challenge for me. So a lot of talk, a lot of victimhood. And so me being able to lean into, I've started as a habit, what do you want to get at the end of the session? But then to say, okay, what's meaningful about that? It just kind of illuminated the authenticity of the agreement that I wanted to continue with her, because she knows that I won't let her off the hook and just have this sort of a woe is me victim hour. And so linking her to the meaningfulness of us grounding down into something tangible you want to get, it just really, I think, made my point for me in a very, I thought, skillful way with a just such a quick punctuation of a question. What's meaningful about that for you? So I loved that. So sorry about the run-on explanation, but that really worked well.
If I may, I want to build on that a little bit, Lisa. I was going through the PCC markers again this weekend, and I had a blinding flash of the obvious, and it made me laugh how obvious it was. If I don't establish 3.1, coach partners with the client to identify or reconfirm what the client wants to accomplish in the session. If I don't do that, I don't know why this never occurred to me. There are other markers that come after that that will not be marked. Go through the markers, find those that talk about the client's agenda, that what the client wants to accomplish, they're there in several of the competencies. Those are not going to be marked as done because I didn't do 3.1. It's like you want somebody to come to your house and do something, but they won't walk in the front door.
Mm-hmm.
Now I got to do an evaluation and how well they did. They never even got in the front door. So how do I evaluate? Or maybe they got in, but they wouldn't go up the stairs. So there was a few things I can say went well, but they didn't do a big part of it. I don't know why that was. When I was reading this, I went, duh, of course, but there were so many. If 3.1 was not done, this one won't be. This one won't be. This one won't be. This one won't be. Fascinating. Because I'm going, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's so simple and so elegant.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then makes every one of those four steps, at least the four steps in the markers, makes that competency so important. So let me pause there. Mm-hmm. Thoughts, reactions?
Yeah, I just want to build. It's kind of like going, everybody goes to a meeting and nobody knows why we're there, what the meeting's about, right? So it's a basic premise of why are we all here? Why are we here?
Yeah. And then at the end, somebody asks, did we accomplish what we came here to do? And everybody's going, I don't know. I don't know. Or I thought it was A and you thought it was B. We find that out. Or nobody knew. Yeah. Yeah. Again, blinding flash of the obvious for me, but I just hadn't thought of it in those terms. It's so important. So important. So anything else relating to establish and maintain agreements? Yes, Jean.
Thank you. Lisa, you just mentioned TOMS, and I'm like, is that an acronym for something that I missed? Could you help me with that?
Lisa, if you don't mind, it is.
Okay.
I introduced it, and I have another one. So because you asked, I feel free to. So TOMS is a coaching process. I asked for a topic. What topic would you like to talk about today? What outcome would you like? What will it mean to you if you have that? Or if you don't have it, what will it mean to you? And S, what would success look like?
I forgot that. So thank you for bringing it back. Yeah.
Absolutely. But I found another that is very similar. I don't have a good acronym. It's ASMA right now, ASMA. So I made it a simple, meaningful agenda. That's what I did. But one is, again, what do you want to accomplish? So it's a little different than a topic. Okay, so either of these will fit. You make them fit. You're establishing that agreement. What do you want to accomplish today? Number two, what will success look like? So these are some of the same elements moved around. And success, I'm trying to get them to concretely and clearly define. I would like three strategies that will help me get out the door at 5 p.m. every day instead of staying late. Concrete, clear, because we want to measure, right? So what do you want to accomplish? What would success look like? I'd have three strategies to get me out the door. Number three, what's the meaning or importance to you? I haven't seen my kids, you know, in 3 weeks. They're in bed before I get there. I'm not exercised, blah, 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 blah. What would it mean to you? What's the importance? And then the last is, what do we need to address for you to accomplish? And this includes, who are your allies and what are the hindrances to that? I'm going to get a couple of allies to help me to address this. And I'm also aware of an obstacle in my path. And we discuss that. So what would you like to accomplish? What will success look like? What will it mean to you to accomplish that? And what do we need to address for you to accomplish that. So pretty similar, but another model. And I don't have a good acronym, ASMA.
The reason I like the TOMS or the outcomes is I tend to be fairly outcome driven, I guess. And so, again, I don't have this particular approach with this client. I don't have often, so I feel a bit disarmed. A lot of what I think she comes to the calls with is, when I ask her, just processing, being validated, kind of talking, which is that's important. And so she recognizes my style. She said it to me explicitly yesterday. When I stopped mid session, I said, okay, are we achieving the goals that we said at the beginning? So that's thanks to this course. Thank you. And she said, yeah. She said, I know, Lisa, you're an ESTJ, whatever. She misguessed my Myers-Briggs, but it turns out that she just said, yeah, you want to bring me to outcomes. I get that. That's good, right? So it all worked out, but maybe it wouldn't have been good. Maybe another client would say, look, I just want to come here and process and talk out loud, and I'm not sure I would be able to work effectively with that. And maybe that would be the answer. I don't know. But is an outcome necessary? Or people come and say, I just want to have the coaching so I can process, talk out loud, hear myself talk.
Jean raised her hand.
I really appreciate that you brought that up, Lisa. And my response to that is, I think that's very appropriate because that is the need they have. And so having them identify that processing can have an outcome or a destination is what I try to do. So great. You want to just process, think out loud, bounce some ideas. Great. And what will success look like after you're done with that processing? And that's really where they go, you know, I'll get it off my chest. And so then even that is what you came in here for, off your chest now. So that's what I offer. I have a lot of clients that need to do that, that do that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks very much for that, Jean. Mm-hmm. It's not clearing. It's more than clearing, I'm hearing you say, I think.
I interrupted.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to draw the distinction between clearing, which is how long do you need to vent, or how long, right? This is like, no, we're going to process this, but there's an after processing that I liked about what you were saying. And let's look at what that's going to bring you.
Yeah. That's great language. What will that bring you? I really appreciate that. For me, clearing is like a really big process. It's like, to me, it's like to do a pure clearing is like everything, that top of mind thing. But then what's underneath that one? And what's underneath that one? And what's underneath that one? So if I could do a clearing session with a coach, that's powerful. But I don't know that I could complete that in an hour, the way I hold clearing myself. Mm-hmm. And again, it's semantics. To me, we provide that safe place for people to come and say, I just need to think out loud.
Yeah.
And then for me, I have to watch not to grab and say, yeah, I agree with you. You know, like just let them exhale again, So those are my thoughts.
Thank you so much. Well, a very good discussion. I have half an eye on the time too. So I do want to leave sufficient time for our coach Jean and our client Laura. And for some reason, I am getting better at remembering breaks. Laura, I'm sorry, you can apply for unemployment. I asked Laura to be my break buddy, and for three times in a row or something, I remember the break. Let's do this. I would like to get some fresh water, take a 2 or 3 minute break if you'd like now. Then we're going to come back. We'll hear from Jean what she would like for us to look for. We're going to look for evidence of Jean's mastery. We have our ethics, our competencies, our markers. We're going to go back to her after the coaching session and say, I saw mastery in your coaching. Here it is. So we'll do that when we come back. And yeah, Let's do that. Take a little 2-3 minute break. I'm going to stick around right here if anybody has any questions.
And how much time is the coaching practicum part? How much time do we have?
About 30 minutes. I don't want to go too much past the top of the hour.
Okay.
But we have a very small group, so we have a little more flexibility. We don't have to get feedback from 8 people.
Yeah.
So if you feel a natural point to wrap up at 5 after.
Yeah.
That will give you a half hour. Yeah. And then, of course, I tell folks, if your client's right on the edge of something and you think, boy, if I had 3 more minutes, take it.
Okay.
Particularly today with a smaller group. But 30 minutes is nice. And it's also evidence for folks who go, well, I don't know what you can do in 30 minutes. And they hear 30-minute sessions here all the time.
Yeah. I love that. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I can do a 30-minute coaching session start to finish. So I have a coaching session later today by phone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I haven't done one of those in so long. It's a pro bono with a student trying to make career choices, and they don't have access to Zoom. I did phone for like 15 years, and now I'm like, coaching by phone?
Yeah.
I can't see their face.
I know. Isn't that
but funny? I think I'll I think my muscle memory will kick in. So
yeah.
Be on the phone. No lipstick.
It is funny that here we are in 2022 and we make that distinction, because I remember when video calls were coming in, I'm like, really?
Yeah.
And how comfortable we are now. It's a blessing. Yeah.
Yeah. To me, it's so much easier. I can ask a question and just sit. And I know what you're doing. I have a concept of, did you hear me? Did you understand it? Are you thinking about it?
Mm-hmm.
Was it an annoying question, a pleasing question, or whatever? I have all this other information in the silence. Whereas before, you'd ask a question on the phone and go, oh, God, did they hear me?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Much more information.
Yes. Well, I want to go ahead and begin. So, Jean, what we will be gathering evidence, those of us that are observers, what would you most like us to look for in your coaching?
Thank you. I don't have the exact number or whatever it is, but it's what I want to be mindful not to lead or advise.
And what else can you tell us about that?
I find that clients come hungry for, give me something, you know, reminiscent to my children waiting for lunch and wanting something sweet before lunch. So I have my empathy or my less conscious behavior can fall right in and respond or react or give. And that is good for a bit, but it doesn't have the deeper impact that sitting with it and exploring it does. So this course has re-centered me around that power, how our role and that effort. So I've really crisped that up since we've been meeting, and I want to make sure I don't have anything that I'm not seeing in my coaching.
Very good. Seeing
it still. Yeah.
All right. And anything else?
Just presence, connection, and there for her. It's not about me.
Okay. I have presence, connection, and not leading or advising.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. We will be listening for that. Laura and Jean will keep their cameras on. The rest of us will mute ourselves and mute our camera and rejoin you in maybe just a hair under 30, around 30 minutes. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Good, good. Well, welcome to your coaching session.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And this is your time. I just want to check in to see if there's anything you need to do, say, you know, to be here fully.
Yeah, I'm going to shut down. Going to shut down all of the other things around me.
Yeah.
So I can focus. And I think I'm there.
All right. Take your time.
So, perfect. All right. I'm good. I think I've isolated myself to no dings or noises.
all the environmental sounds. Oh, Laura, it's good to be with you. So I just want to check in with you on the topic we're going to be talking about in the outcome. But before we do that, I want to remind you, this is your time. And this is your confidential conversation, and this is just for you, and it's between us. So there's that to put in place. And what do you want to focus on today for your coaching? And what would a successful outcome look like?
Oh, okay. So I don't know what success looks like yet. I mean, I've been thinking about this topic a little bit, and I'm just going to start talking.
Good.
I'm not an auditory processor. So I like at this point, I think I just am. I'm going to just get it out and we'll go from there. So, Jean, I've been in a new role. It's not really new anymore, 11 months. And I've been with the organization almost 18 years. Mm. And this role that I took, 10, 11 months ago, is a lot more responsibility, and it's quite different than I think what I was expecting it to be, truthfully. So as a vice president, I'm going through periods of time in this role where I don't feel engaged. I don't feel like I know my work is making a difference, but it's very different working at this level than any level I've ever worked at before. And when I describe it to people, I communicate, I feel like in a lot of days, I'm taking care of the things that nobody wants to or nobody else can take care of. And I feel depleted a lot. So, and I might get emotional. It's a hard feeling for me because I'm one of those people that wants to give everything I have to what I'm doing. And I don't feel right now like I'm doing that because I feel drained a lot.
Yeah, I get it.
So I think what I want to process through or work through today is I don't envision myself giving up the role, but I think what I probably need to do is have a conversation with my boss about what are some things we can do. Because engagement at all levels in an organization is important, even at the vice president level, even when we're supposed to suck it up, you know, there needs to be a level of, I want to feel engaged coming to work, and I don't a lot of times. And so I think I do need to have a conversation with her, and I'm just not sure what that looks or sounds like right now. And sometimes, Jean, I'm not even sure exactly where I'm stuck. So that was a lot, but that's a topic that I feel like personally I continue to come back to, and I've not made a lot of progress on. So I figured, why not see if we can't make any progress here?
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing all of that. For a non-auditory processor, you did a good job. You did a lot. And so what did you hear in your auditory processing? What did you hear was an intended outcome you'd like with the focus on this topic?
Yeah. Well, I think one intended outcome is how do I communicate? Not how, but like, what do I want to communicate? What does the message sound like for my boss? Mm-hmm. Because I feel totally comfortable with her. I trust her completely. I can say anything to her. But I think part of the reason why I haven't said anything, Jean, is because I don't quite know exactly what I need yet or where I'm stuck.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a matter of, and I'm kind of coaching myself here, is what does help look like at this point?
Yeah. Well, good job on that, hearing yourself process a bit. So I hear a few outcomes. I'm going to just summarize is, what do I want to communicate to my boss who you have a good relationship with? What do I need, right? And what do I need? That was the two clear ones I heard. Was there a third?
I think those are the biggest.
Those are the biggest. Okay, yeah. Great. And if we were to succinctly hold this topic, what do we want to call this topic?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the best word I can use to describe it is unsettled. And I say that because I've never had a period in my 18 years where I've consistently felt like I don't want to over dramatize this, but I've consistently felt the way I do right now.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just, it has left me feeling a bit unsettled.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. I get that. So thank you for that. So we're looking at what the topic is, unsettled, and what we're going to look for is some clarity on what to communicate with your boss and how to get unstuck, what you need.
Yep.
Yeah, beautiful. Thanks for that. Anything else you want to say about that before we jump in? All right. I have a question for you. You said, surprise, but you said it, that something that really stood out was not feeling engaged.
Yeah.
Engagement was a big word. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious about what engagement means to you, looks like to you, what it has meant to you, what it would feel like if you were engaged. Anything you want to say around engagement?
Shoot. Yeah. So engagement to me feels like I see and feel the impact of what I'm doing, and like it is contributing to the greater good. And it doesn't have anything to do with how hard I'm working. So disengaged feels like it's Sunday night and tomorrow's Monday. And as much as I love the organization, I don't know if I want to go back and do my job tomorrow.
I got it. What are the tears about?
Oh, that's a good question. I think the tears are the release of frustration, just feeling tired, very tired. I think this sense of feeling alone in a lot of cases to navigate the situation, when you have a boss who is at the very top level, let's just be honest, it's really easy to feel like nobody has time to consider what you need, because it doesn't really matter, or it feels like it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I got it.
I think it's the feeling of I have just felt stuck.
Yeah.
And so I think that leads to, it just leads to the, I feel tired.
Got it. You know, Laura, the thing that's coming up for me since you've been talking about this and the engagement, and you talked about taking care of a lot of things people don't want to take care of and wants to give everything, and you feel depleted and feel drained. The thing that's coming up for me, I just want to name, is a loneliness.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting you say that, because I've given voice to that. And I think there's a lot that factors into that. So I think that you're right on. I'm just processing kind of all of the moving parts and pieces of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you work in HR, you don't, and at this level, there's not a lot of people across the organization that you can share with.
Yeah.
Because the things that you're dealing with cannot be shared.
Yeah.
The other part of that is my boss and I, who was in a similar position to mine, before she was promoted to the chief role, her and I had a much different relationship because she didn't have peers at the executive level. So when she moved into that role, probably the one person I did have to talk to went away. So there is a sense of loneliness, I think, just inherent to this role. And I think there's also a sense of loneliness because I don't necessarily feel like I have someone supporting me.
Yeah.
I aim to support the, 30 people plus people that report to me.
Yeah. And 11 months of doing that feeling would feel pretty depleted.
Yeah.
Got it. Oh, thank you so much for sharing all that honesty. So we're looking at what you want to communicate with your boss and what you need. Let's focus on what do you need? In the spirit of loneliness, what do you need?
Yeah.
Not sure where we're going to get it yet, but what do you need to shore up that depletion, to put a plug in that hole?
Yeah. I think the reality, Jean, is I don't know that I can rely on or should rely on anyone else to for this. And so the place that I go in my mind, and this is not a thought that I've entertained previously, is what do I need to do outside of work, and what do boundaries and what does it look like, outside of here? That's not the sole answer, but mm-hmm. I wonder, are there things that I need to kind of think through or take stock of in terms of just my own self-care, my own all of that, in order to really be able to show up here in a different spot. So that's one thought. Can you repeat the question? I think my wheels were turning so hard that I lost it.
Of course. Just really looking at that outcome that we're aiming towards, which is what you need.
Yeah.
You identified maybe it's outside the organization.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I think in general, this is because I know when the emotion comes, I think I need a different level of support from my boss.
Yeah. How does that feel when you say that?
Oh, I mean, I know it's it because I can tell based on my reaction that that's what it is.
Yeah, I can feel it here. Yeah.
I suck at asking for help. I feel a sense of relief just saying it. And at the same time, I also feel like, oh gosh, what does that do to her? And I'll move past that. I'm just being honest with what it initially feels like.
I got it. Thank you for the, I got it. So you need more support from her. I'm curious. We just take a sidestep here for a minute.
Yeah.
This is your first VP role, correct?
Yeah.
What do you think VP is supposed to be like?
Good question. I don't know that I've spent a lot of time thinking about that, but I feel like the best way I know how to answer that is how I've always held my expectations for myself, which is through the roof. You know, like I probably the reason I haven't asked for support or asked for something different is because I feel like I probably shouldn't need it.
Yeah. Do you need it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think every human needs it. I mean, we're a system of people working together. I know better.
Yeah. Oh, human dynamics. So you hold vice president as it is the same high ideals as you had before. So in the space that you are right now, you know, feeling a bit depleted, but clear that you want support and specifically support from your boss. And if you could wave a magic wand and have the vice president show up as, you know, fulfilling and engaged in all these beautiful words you used before, the antithesis of drained, like fulfilled, can't wait till Monday morning. What would vice president look like then?
You know, what is just landing for me, Jean, is I don't feel seen.
Ah, got it.
Like I do not mind dealing with the mess.
Yeah.
Or the hard stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do it in a vacuum.
Got it. What do you need to be seen by?
Well, I think that's part of what support looks like for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of what happens just gets taken care of.
Yeah.
Which is great. But I think I need someone to notice that. I need her to notice that more often.
Yeah. Got it. Very cool. It sounds like you miss your boss.
I really do.
Yeah. I wonder if she misses you. Why do you laugh?
I laugh Why do I laugh? I think when you said that, I realized this relationship has been one way.
Oh.
For a period of time, and I don't know if she misses the relationship or not. But I think I deserve something more than what I'm getting.
Got it.
Which is progress for me. So, and I think I laugh because I've never considered that.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
This reminds me of a conversation about, well, how old am I? 42, about 20 years ago that I had to have with my dad.
Wow.
About a relationship. And I feel like it's much the same.
Interesting. What did you learn from that?
They don't know what you need until you tell them, until you communicate it. And I also feel like me coming to the table, communicating what I need, is vulnerable. And I think I that's something I need from her that she, I think in many ways, has shut off to survive in this role. Truthfully.
Wow. Wow. Laura, I see you. And I see how much you care.
Yeah.
About the relationship, about doing the best you can, and about figuring out how to evolve into making this work for you as well as for the organization.
Yeah.
Really yeah. powerful. And what were, you know, you've hit on some really powerful, clear things. What does this conversation look like with your boss?
Yeah.
Any ideas?
Well, I mean, I think what's become really apparent to me through this conversation, and this is like, this is at the core of who I am. This is a value for me, is that it's not about the work, it's about the relationship. Mm-hmm. And I can't be in a work situation where I don't feel like there's relationships supporting it. And so I think I need to go back to my values, I think, and think through that. And then I also think, you know, I've taken some of my own notes, and, you know, the whole word seen is powerful. I mean, that's something I need to communicate. So I think what it looks like, Jean, is I need to sit down and kind of probably hash through more of the mechanics of, you know, where is this rooting from, and what do I be able to just communicate more cohesively what I need and what I'm hoping for, and just bring it to her and open up dialogue. So I know that's the first thing that lands for me.
Yeah. And can you see yourself having that conversation with her? I hear you wanting to do a little bit more processing around it and look through your values.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, the way I tend to kind of process things is I need to understand what the root of it is so I can communicate it.
Got it.
And then I think I also need to probably offer up some concretes of, you know, here's what I need, or here's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Before I sit down and have the conversation, but I'm certainly willing and able to have it.
Yeah.
Once I process a bit more.
Yeah. I got it. So I identified what you needed. You had an insight also around self-care outside of the organization as well. Why don't I just pick up that thread to see if there's anything that, you know, you're clear about this conversation with your boss, powerfully clear, rooted in 20 years of an aha. There was an insight you had around self-care outside. Anything there?
Yeah. I think there's connectivity thematically, truthfully, in the fact that, you know, I would say for the last 10 months, I've been trying to kind of muscle and force my way through this situation. And I think it's just a good holistic reminder and thought of, I don't mean this flippantly, but no job and no situation is worth that. Like what I know this, I'm a slow learner from this standpoint, but like what I need matters. And so regardless of whether it's an inconvenience to her or an inconvenience to other people, you know, my mental, emotional, physical well-being matters. And I don't do a great job prioritizing that at times.
Well, when you said what I need matters, goosebumps.
Yeah, I'm slow in that area.
We learn at different speeds. We really do.
Oh.
Yeah. So what do you need outside of work that would give you that connectivity and fill your bucket? What comes to mind first? What do you want?
Yeah. Well, you know, when I look back at periods of time, even when life has been as chaotic as it is today, what I've done is schedule in days off and time off just because it's healthy to not work all the time.
Yeah.
And I've not done a great job of that. And so I definitely think that's something that I can do.
Yeah. Let's check in on that. You definitely think it's something you could do, or you will?
Yeah. Yeah, I will. And actually, I'll actually commit to going through the first quarter of next year and just already making some time, because okay, if I don't do it ahead of time, it's not going to get done.
Okay.
I think the other thing that I'd like to do is, this is a relational opportunity for me in all areas of my life, is doing a better job communicating what I need.
Beautiful.
So I'm actually going to share this conversation with my partner, because it's another example of how we can grow together.
Beautiful. Powerful. Wow. Yeah. In order to bring ourselves, we have to fill ourselves up. So bring and need go hand in hand.
Yep.
Yeah. So Laura, do you feel that we have got you to a point where you're clear about what you want to communicate with your boss?
I'm as clear as I'm going to be in this moment. Okay. Without additional processing time. Yeah, 100%.
Got it. And you have room to make that processing time?
For soon? Sure.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
And any promises you want to make about how soon you're going to reach out to your boss? Would that support you?
Yeah. Let me see what that looks like. You know, I meet with her next week for just an hour, and that actually might be a really good opportunity because it's outside of our normal.
Mm-hmm.
To have the conversation. The other thing is if I don't do it next week, it's going to be 2 weeks.
Mm.
So I would like to have that conversation with her next week.
Got it. And the point would be to connect.
Yep.
There's yep. meaning and there's connecting.
Yeah. Yeah. Good call out.
And then what do you need? What's your clear takeaway around what you need?
I need to be seen.
Yeah.
And I need support.
Yeah.
And I need something different from our relationship.
Yeah. And you need to make your needs known.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me put that one in. Anything else you'd like to say before we close out our session, or how can you partner with me in closing out our session today?
I don't think there's anything else. Thank you for not flinching at my emotion. It's like part and parcel with processing for me.
Well, I want to thank you for sharing yourself fully and openly, especially going beyond where you're comfortable. That's generous of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Until next time. We're complete. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Jean. Wonderful coaching. And I thank you also, Laura, for showing up completely authentically with a real topic for you. What a gift to your coach. So thank you for being a wonderful client. Really.
I don't know any other way.
Fabulous. Fabulous.
I just want to add, it seems to me that Laura is as good a client as she was a coach for me. So
yeah.
Both ends covered there.
Very good. We have about 20 minutes left. I want to give a couple minutes at the end for each of you to share what you are going to take away from this. What might you implement in your coaching and your life? So here's what we'll do. I'd like to hear from Jean. Then I'd like to hear Laura give some feedback to Jean, and we'll open it up to Lisa and Dania. And then I'll provide my feedback last, and the last few minutes will be to capture your takeaways on what you will do with this newfound learning. So as we saw demonstrated that question brilliantly in our coaching today. So Jean, let me start with you. How was that session for you?
Well, now that it's over, I can be moved, but I'm so moved. I get it, Laura. I could relate so deeply, and I wanted to just have a gal talk with you, like, oh, I get it, you know. And so first of all, I wanted to just for me about Laura? I'm sorry, I lost the question.
And just how was that session for you? What did you know?
It was wonderful, I'll be honest. For me, it was wonderful. Laura was extraordinarily generous. Laura, thank you for being generous and open and clearly came prepared with a topic that mattered. And I sensed that she would, you know, from my prior experiences ever. So I was excited about that. I feel I did my job as a coach to stay with her and explore but not overlook, and to share what I saw without judgment. And I'm grateful we came to a conclusion, and I'm grateful for the returning again to the clarity of now Tom's, and I did my part to keep it simple. So I feel it was a good coaching session.
Thank you, Jean. I agree. I'll just share that I would be curious if non-coaches, people with no background in coaching, heard this conversation and had no context for it. It's just two people talking. I wonder if they'd even know, if they would recognize how many skills were shown today. Because it you made it look easy. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
Anyway, Laura, what would you like to share with your coach?
Masterful. The reason, Jean, that I brought a real topic is because I knew you, I knew I could trust you with it, even though I only know you through the screen.
Thank you.
So one of the things you asked about was presence, or wanted to notice, was presence and connection, and your tone, your demeanor, your pace, all of those things mirrored where I was at just so beautifully. I think it's a little ironic that I was talking about needing to be supported, and that was just exactly what Jean was doing, was she was just kind of holding me there. You had a couple really good ads, but they were not but, and they were important ones. And I think you have such a skill, obviously, at this level of kind of adding them into the pool of what is being discussed without forcing them in there. And I think you do a really, really great job of that. At the end, you said, you asked me what I needed, and you added one in at the end. And I really, really liked if you were to wave a wand, mm-hmm. what would that, like, what Well, I don't remember what you said that after that, but I was like, oh gosh, like if I could magically change this, what would it look like or feel like? And then you also at the beginning asked for us to look for not leading or advising. I didn't feel any of that from you. None.
Good.
I could go on and on, but those are the main things that I just felt like were brilliant.
Thank you. You're a great client, a really great client. So willing, so generous, so vulnerable.
Thank you, Laura. Dania, would you like to share with us?
I think it was a great session and with a lot of important maintain presence of Jane and listen very well because her questions were very powerful. And also I could see a very great way to facilitate Laura to explain her feelings and to go deeper and deeper inside the process. And so a very great session with a lot of empathy and also Jane transfer a lot of trust and safety.
Great, thank you.
Thank you, Dania.
Thank you. Yeah, and thank you for all of that, and then particularly the trust and safety, the foundation for a client. Laura said it. She said, I knew it would be safe to bring this to you. I knew I would be okay with you. Trust and safety. Thank you, Dania. Lisa, your feedback for our coach, Jean.
Yeah, well, felt like a masterclass. It was brilliant. I want to try and focus on what Jean was looking for target-wise. So on the connection, Jean, you ooze of connection. So it would be, I would think, impossible for you not to, you know, connect with your client. So whether it's your smile or the tilt of a head or the just the energy. So the connection and presence is there, and you know you build on that with some words. You have a practice of pausing and saying, you know, beautiful, and just noticing, like receiving and mirroring back the beauty or the abundance of what in this case Laura just said. So that also I think helps you connect. You know, I'll just use one example. Laura, I see you and I see how much you care. She wanted to be seen. So, I mean, how powerful is that as a way to connect? On the not leading or advising, it was all over the place. You know, I love the way specifically that you entered into it, totally trusting your client to know what she wanted to get today in the coaching. You took two or three iterations at it. You know, asking what you wanted, intended outcome, just checking in with her. This is what I'm hearing. Then doubling down and asking her what would you want to call this topic? So just different creative strategies to help her whittle down to a place where it was just clearer, presumably for both of you. And then throughout, staying curious and shifting, helping her shift her perspective. So what are the tears about? You know, just this really out there question that was so relevant. What's coming up for me is loneliness. This would, you know, what do you need? These questions, what is the VP supposed to look like? If you could, the magic wand. So all of these try to open her experience of her experience. So beautiful. And then finally, deepening the learning and forwarding the action. I was impressed. I thought I was impressed already. And then you kept trying to forward the action. So I think you did a wonderful job of compassionately, gently bringing her more and more towards what are you going to do? So that was, I thought, brilliantly done without the hammer on the head, just really effective by just one step at a time. So.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you. Very good. And we have just about 10 minutes. All right. Much to acknowledge. I loved the check-in right at the top. This is, and you mentioned a couple of times, this is your time. And just saying that gives power to our clients, gives permission to our clients. This is your time. This is your time. What do you need just for you? And seems like a little while ago, your client shut down, I think, some electronic things or distractions. What a brilliant start offering that. I said something about multitasking with our group agreements at the start. And some of us have faced that. You see a client, and with some of them, you see multiple monitors because you can see the monitors in their eyeglasses.
Yeah.
And we just don't know at that point. Do they need that? Are they distracted?
Yeah.
How do we make this an environment for them, or other things are going, or you just know, you know, this is your time just for you. And your client chose to make an area. I think, Laura, you even used a word, I'm in my little enclave, or I'm in my little place now. I'm turned off others. So she took you up on that. Brilliant. You thanked your client for her non-auditory processing and asked, because she said, I'm not, you know, this is how I process. What did you hear in your auditory processing? I'm not getting that exactly right, but what I loved was the you were listening to your client. So what's proof that we listen? What's proof that we listen? I cannot tell by looking at you if you're listening.
Yeah.
When you speak, I know if you were listening.
Right.
When you speak. And when you spoke, it was directly related. In response. In response. In response. That's how we know a coach is listening. When they speak to that client. What do you hear as an answer? So I heard you with your preference for how you process. I don't know if it was auditory or non-auditory, but you were on top of that and asked, in light of sharing that, what did you hear? I hear you that is part of how you process. And acknowledging that, what did you hear? It's not enough just to say, what did you hear? I've got to, as coach, say, I heard you. I heard you. Remember, Leigh, we're going, I see you. I hear you. That's part of the customization of questions, which honestly used to baffle me. I go, come on, it's just the two of us. When I say, what are you going to do? They know what I'm talking about. No, customized, proof I'm learning. Jean, did you have a comment?
Are you suggesting I should have said what I hear you say is, instead of going back to her and asking her?
No.
Oh.
No, what you shared meant you were listening.
Okay, got it.
Thank you. Heard her talking, and I don't have the exact layout, but it was non-auditory.
Yeah.
You got that, you heard it, you wanted her to know you heard it.
Right, I did.
Even though you're not an auditory processor, what did you hear in that? Mm-hmm. Because I hear you, and I honor that that's how you process.
Got it.
And I'm still asking, what did you hear? I have so many things on your client side. At the client's request, you restated the client's desired outcome. I love this. Thank you, Laura, because our clients are doing some heavy lifting.
Right.
And they can get lost in the topics, and there's so much going on and shiny objects and this and that. And what did I say I wanted is a completely valid question.
Yeah.
And coach knows and has that. You said you wanted this. Mm-hmm. This is where we're going. And not that way I'm speaking, but the coach is so clear on that outcome that they can recite it or they've got it for that client. The other thing you did, I'm going to build on this, is as you, at least for me, when I was reiterating back to a client what they had talked about, at first it didn't feel natural to me.
Mm-hmm.
19 years ago, I'm learning this, and they go, recap. And I'm going, so you said that, your recaps were just wonderful because they weren't after every conversation. They weren't after this. They weren't after this. So the recaps to me, this is how I see it. Allow my client to have 17 things going on up here. And I know that all 17 are important, but they only mentioned 16 of them. So I'm going to just bring in that one. And you did this at the end. You said, you also mentioned this. I'll just bring it in. Is it important? A very light inquiry. Because my client mentioned it. So you go back, you have that, you noticed it, you're holding it for your client.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to pursue it. Mm-hmm. But you brought that back in because their mind is up here with 16 other things.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wonderful job of holding for the client and then saying, would you like to look at this? Is this worth more exploration, or are you ready to move on? Because it's hard to keep all that in their heads. This question came 20 minutes in. I don't know where this came from. It's brilliant. It sounds like you miss your boss. I don't know about the rest, but we were going, you know, I mean, what? I don't know what you were tapping into, Jean, at that point, but it obviously connected directly with your client. It was just the perfect inquiry at the right time. It sounds like you miss your boss. And you know what I love about that? You didn't say you miss your boss, don't you? Do you get the difference between that? You miss your boss, don't you? I don't know. I wouldn't expect that to come out of a coach's mouth. It sounds like you miss your boss.
And I just need to interject here. That statement couldn't be more true.
Oh.
It could not be more true.
So you nailed that,
yep.
But it was also presented to you in a way that made it easy for you to say, I'm not ready to talk about that. No, that's not true, whatever. And to go in a different direction. It wasn't presented as dogma. It sounds like you missed your boss. What a just great to hear that. Great to have that intuition, wherever that came from, and also presented it. Is this? Great. I wonder if she misses you. Your client laughed. You asked, what's the laugh about? Yes, because there was a reaction there. This is an emotional topic. Your client had a reaction. What was the laugh about? Not why are you laughing, which has a different move. What's the laugh about? Just brilliant. She spoke about her dad and having a conversation 20 years ago with her dad. And you asked a great question. I have to stop talking. I have more notes. You asked, do you remember what you asked there?
What did you learn?
What did you learn? What did you learn? Great coaching questions. What did you learn? What did you learn? What did you learn about yourself? What did you learn about the situation? What are you going to do with what you learned? I have two more pages. just wonderful. And I do want to allow time for each of you to share your takeaways. And then I will stick around and continue to throw bouquets. Like, but let's go around. I'd love to hear a word or two from each of you. We probably have about a minute. Yep, 1 minute. Dania, would you kick us off? What are you taking away from today?
Master class of in this session. So it was for me very well done.
And Dani, I missed the first word you said. You said the something of this session was very well done.
It was a masterclass.
Masterclass. Thank you. I agree. Thank you, Dania. Lisa, we'll just go around and.
Yeah. I agree with the masterclass. It was a pleasure. I'm brought back to my, you know, coaching training decades ago, the little things, I guess, in the crevices of my mind, but there was the just light tapping of the balloon. You know, coming with a sledgehammer as a coach. Wow. Just light touch, light nice. Touch, back and forth, back and forth. And it seemed like that's what I witnessed. So beautiful.
Thank you. I love that. I love that analogy. Thank you. Laura, your takeaway.
I'm just going to say thank you, Jean.
And thank you, Laura. Thank you from us very much. And Jean, we'll close with your takeaway.
I need to say something. So 22 years ago, I went to New Ventures West Coaching School, and we had to do live coaching in front of half of our audience as part of our curriculum, and I didn't pass. And it was, and then I did 6 more months of training and I came back and I did it well. And today was a big deal for me because I haven't had a witness, had people watch me coach. And I've been practicing I've been diligent to my practice to get better and be better. And I am a master certified coach. And I take that I hold that as very important. So to hear what you had to say today was really meaningful because it was a big kind of a bit of a trauma kick in from triggered a little bit. For me, not trauma is a big word, but it was not the best experience. I've never re-looked at the tape. It was, you know, such a disappointment of myself. And so thank you for your validation. It means the world to me. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jean. I and I just wanted to add to that, as you coached, I had no idea that this was a trigger to you, which is what I want in my coach.
Good.
Maybe triggered by something that's happened to me, but I want you to stay in the role of coach.
Yeah.
And I had no idea when you shared that at the end. I thought, wow, even greater.
Well, thank you.
I wish I could
stay on and listen to you, Dan, but I have someone scheduled right in after this session. So I have, it's just a business meeting, but I do need to go, unfortunately, but I would love to get your input because it matters.
I'll hang on to them.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'll stick around. If you have any questions, I'll turn off our recording.